And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Tuesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Eastern and Western Conference final preview here with Pete and Nick. Great to be with you after a Game 7 victory on the road for the New York Rangers. How about it, Nick? Breaking the trend, and the Canes go home disappointed here.
Amazing. Simply amazing, Pete. Great to be with you. I can't remember a time where I was more excited for conference finals, plural, in general, whether it be the West or the East here. I can't wait for everything to start here, Petey.
Absolutely. And for us being fantasy guys, right, like how many years in a row have the top three picks been Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon? Whichever order you slice it, you know that those are some of the best offensive players every single year. Now it actually materializes deep in the playoffs. We'll see them facing each other for the first time. We'll see the Russian goaltenders with Vasilevsky against Shesterkin, another unbelievable star-studded matchups. And then, you know, of course, we're bringing on Matt Russell, our boy from The Score, does a great job covering betting and hockey in general. And what's going on, Matt? Great to catch up with you. And what are your thoughts on these conference finals?
Gentlemen, thanks. Yeah, it's been a minute. So hopefully this means more listeners for you guys and lowers the escrow, which is, you know, awesome.
Great
results potentially there. I'm really fired up for this too. And, you know, it's funny, up here in Canada, people talk about like, oh, Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid, they might have been on the same line if there had there been the Olympics. Well, these two goaltenders on the East side might have been the two goaltenders for the Olympics. So we might have had a Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon versus Shesterkin / Vasilevsky. Who knows who would have been the starter given how well Shesterkin has played this year. Obviously Vasilevsky has the longer resume, if you will. But yeah, then you got the high powered offense out west, which is sort of, you know, on brand for the Western Conference, and like, you know, maybe grab all the overs you can possibly get over there. And you got the under, you know, grinded out Eastern Conference version. It's all very on brand for the Stanley Cup playoffs this in the next week or so.
I'm fighting with this already. So I saw 6.5 as a total for game one with Colorado and Edmonton. And all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, it's jumped to 7. How do you feel about that? You diving in right away to the over?
No, I'm not going to play the totals in this. Like, you know, the secret's out, right? These two teams are probably going to score a fair amount. Mike Smith's given up goals from 130 feet. So I'm certainly not looking to grab the under in his department. And honestly, I haven't been that impressed with Darcy Kemper up until this, you know, this point as either. But like, the market's aware of that. And once you hit 7, right, you get that push on a 3-3 tie that heads to overtime. So you could be right about the under with only 6 goals through 60 minutes of regulation play, but you're not going to win that bet. So for me, it's like the market is fully aware. When it comes to that sort of thing where everybody's talking about it, doesn't really matter the sport. A lot of the times I'm going to zag while people are zigging. So I'd actually be more interested in the under, kind of in the same way, knowing that if it goes 3-3, at least I'm not going to lose my bet, which at that point is almost, you know, you need to kind of protect your position more than anything else. So not really into the total in this series. The sides and sort of how this series plays out is a lot more interesting to me than necessarily, you know, how many goals are necessarily going to be scored per game.
And in the props market, especially out west, is going to be crazy. Oh, there's so many guys averaging a point per game. I mean, even when you get deeper than McDavid and Draisaitl, you have Zach Hyman, who's scoring a goal per game lately, right? Evander Kane doing the same on the other side. Not only do you have MacKinnon and Makar, but also Rantanen, who's like point per game in his playoff career, as is Landeskog, Nazem Kadri out for respect, getting deep in the playoffs. How about Kadri versus Zach Hyman, former Maple Leaf story right there. But what are your thoughts on some of this offense out west and how it translates to the props market and tapping into some of these individuals?
Yeah, it's a similar situation, right? Like, some of these prices on McDavid to do stuff is just outrageous, right? Like, it's like to get a point -550. I'm like, what if they shut him out? Like, I don't want anything to do with that, right? That would wipe you out for basically any other bet the rest of the playoffs. I'm looking a little bit deeper with some of these guys. You know, you guys would refer to them as sleepers, for example. On Colorado side, Nikushkin is a guy who I think is maybe a little bit undervalued, and I'm not dying to go over on all these big name guys. I'm probably looking to maybe find you know, sort of less, not lesser known necessarily guys, but like guys are a little bit off the radar. Nikushkin for Colorado is one there. And I think, and this is might be a needs instead of a wants type of situation, but Darnell Nurse needs to produce offensively from the back end for the Oilers to be able to win this series, I think. And so if I'm sort of feeling that he needs to produce, I imagine the Oilers are relatively aware of that. And he had a ton of chances over the course of the first two rounds, but didn't necessarily convert. I'm looking for guys getting chances, being predictive on them converting. So those are two guys that are sort of, you know, you mentioned 10 guys, all very, that's how fun this series is. They, all those guys are very reasonable, sort of top level guys. But those are two guys that are a little bit maybe secondary off the radar that have a chance to produce a little bit more than average this series.
Yeah, another guy I would throw into the mix as well is Andrei Burakovsky, who's in a contract year. He was actually on my sleeper list with Sportsnet.ca going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. This guy was a health bomb in the second round. So you don't know what you're going to get, but You hope the added motivation of potentially getting to a Stanley Cup final, you know, the fact that the contract year is on his head as well. I think you hope that there's something there from a point production standpoint. But I got to ask you, like, how legitimate a threat, and I'm being, you know, smart about this, like how legitimate of a threat do you think the Oilers truly are to the Colorado Avalanche in this series?
It's a puncher's chance situation for me. And so from an overall betting sort of strategy, when it comes to this series, obviously the first thing I do is I have to look at price, right? And so there's a couple of sort of interesting elements to this, and it's not going to come as a ton of, you know, huge surprise to anybody why this is, but it is sort of surprising because it's actually really a fair priced series, unlike say Calgary and Edmonton, where I was like, I got to bet Edmonton here. Cause yeah, I have Calgary as a slight favorite around, you know, 54-55% to win that series. I mean, that was getting priced like 60%, you know, 65% to win that series over the course of, as the market kind of flowed. And it's like, okay, well, I'm obligated to bet Edmonton just on a value standpoint. Now here, Colorado, you know, minus 240 is sort of the best price I found on Colorado. Like, that's pretty fair, actually. And it's actually kind of, you know, there's actually a tiny edge on Colorado. I don't have to ask you guys sort of the age old question, like, oh, how is that possible? It's pretty simple. Number 97, right? Like, people want to bet on Connor McDavid. They want to bet on the underdog Oilers all of a sudden after not believing necessarily in the Oilers for the previous two rounds. Always dangerous when you go from not believing to all of a sudden like believing and willing to pay whatever price. Because look at it this way. When we came into this playoffs, I don't know that many people would have, you know, who are in the betting industry would have that much of a difference between the St. Louis Blues and the Edmonton Oilers as a team. Well, the Blues were plus 350 going into that series with Colorado. And now Edmonton is like plus 215, which is the best price you can kind of get on them. Well, that doesn't really make a ton of sense, right? Like, the Blues obviously doing it differently, deeper, more options with regards to scoring, don't have that one play driver, but overall power ranked about the same. But now all of a sudden Edmonton is getting all this credit in the marketplace. So I can't bet on Edmonton. Question is, do I really want to lay it with Colorado at this point, knowing that it's a fair price? The one thing you can pick up from the last couple of weeks, it's really fun to bet on the Oilers and it's really fun to bet on Connor McDavid when things are rolling because all the goals are awesome, right? They just have you out of your seat. I'm giggling at some of the plays that he's making. Like, it's really fun to be profitable on the Oilers, but that's part of the problem for the marketplace, right? People are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going on these Oilers. So I look at them when I say puncher's chance, like they are a sort of high variance, you know, sort of result bipolar type of a team. This could go really, really well, really quickly for the Oilers. It could also go really, really badly for the Oilers, right? Mike Smith, instead of, you know, 132 foot soft goal, maybe we see four or five soft goals and then things escalate really quickly. Maybe Conn McDavid, you know, I try not to bet on things that are like historically, you know, probable. Like, oh my God, like this has never happened before. Let's bet on this result. Like, that doesn't really make, you know, sound bet. It's not really a sound betting decision. So, but it's possible, right? Like, Connor McDavid could be doing that right now. He could do that. And Mike Smith does, for all of these gaffes that we've seen over the course of the playoffs, he does have the game at time to be outstanding. So the way I look at this is like, okay, it's a fair price on Colorado. I don't really want to bet on Colorado. I don't really want to lay the even the minus 240 on Colorado. So how am I going to attack this series from a fair price standpoint? And how I'm going to do that is I want anything sort of on Colorado, but with a little bit of Edmonton. And what I mean by that is I'm going to take the under 5.5 games in this series. That's available, you know, consensus around plus 125. And what that does is, you know, you're looking at Colorado, you go, okay, you know, minus 240. Okay, that's a fair price. Win 4-3. That's about, you know, correctly priced. Same with 4-2, same with 4-1, same with 4-0. So under 5.5 is correctly priced in Colorado's concept of being the team to win in five games. Edmonton can win this series in five games if everything goes right for Edmonton. So you're getting that small extra like piece of the probability pie with Edmonton on the off chance that they win by five in five games. And if I had said this to you 2 weeks ago against Calgary, you'd probably be like, well, they're not going to win in five games. It's not against Calgary. True. Like this yeah. great team, right? Like it all sounds crazy beforehand, but then it all makes sense after we've seen it. And so, yeah, we might have all of these games be really tight, who knows, 6-5, 4-3 type of games that all go to overtime. But the point is like Colorado is this sort of straight line team. They are the Y factor that just sort of sits there as a sort of the stagnant element. Edmonton is the X factor, right? The variable that goes any game, you don't really know what to expect. Mike Smith could be gone 3 minutes into the game, or he could be standing on his head. So I just look at it and I go, okay, if I want to bet on that for plus money, I get a bunch of different results that I think are likely 4-0, 4-1 for both sides, I think are actually about a 50% chance. And if I'm getting plus 125, it's the old coin flip, right? If you're getting plus 125 on just you and I flipping coins, heads or tails, I'm going to take plus 125 every time. Yeah. So that's how I'm playing this. I don't have the, you know, I have obviously a lean to Colorado winning this series. I think it's appropriately priced in the sort of 60% or 65% range. But like, I don't want to bet against Connor McDavid at this point. That's no fun. We've come all this way. Why, you know, why go against the, you know, the golden boy here? But Colorado's got a fair amount of golden boys as well. So I would expect them to advance. Not to the degree where I need to be betting on them, though. And I certainly don't get the same price. If I was getting the Blues price for Edmonton, I'd be all over Edmonton in the series. But that's just not the case. So going a little bit around the way there with the under 5.5 games at plus 125.
I like it. And yeah, Colorado, I think, has an advantage in every area. You know, maybe not special teams if Edmonton's power play is going to, you know, do what it's done in the past. But I mean, Edmonton is the only team that has scored more goals per game than Colorado this postseason. So definitely offensive minded. I don't think that Colorado minds playing that type of game either, right? Like they're sure. used to getting pushed around by some of these teams defensively, whether it was Vegas in the past or Dallas in the past, or even St. Louis grinded with them. And I think we saw that was good to see from the Avalanche that they're capable of overcoming that type of adversity, because they might need it if they face, say, Tampa in the final. But I mean, this is a great Avalanche team, probably the best we've seen yet. A couple other guys to throw out there, you know, definitely Bowen Byram has kept it up. Nick was on him a couple of weeks ago. He's heating up. Definitely Arturi Lehkonen, a seasoned guy in the middle six that could make a big difference in the props market, just to, you know, tag on to what you were saying about Nichushkin, Matt. And then, you know, as far as Edmonton goes, I agree about Nurse. I think Nugent Hopkins is another real X factor. If Nugent Hopkins is performing at the level he did last series, it gave them a big advantage, Matt, over Calgary, and it could do the same. You know, it could help them match what, you know, what the Avalanche do on the other side with McKinnon and Kadri, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a support element where the only way they're going to win the series is if they get the same production that they got against Calgary, because by and large, from a metric standpoint, Calgary was the better team at even strength. But the quality of the chances that Connor McDavid's just his presence, even if he's not touching the puck, everybody on Calgary is looking over at him while there's guys running free down, coming right down the middle of the ice, you know, getting chances on Markstrom that like his numbers were terrible, but like, a lot of those goals, like, I can't really beat him up for. It's like Evander Kane in alone, like pass goal. And so, you know, Nugent Hopkins gets goals, Hyman gets goals. Like, yeah, all of those guys have to play well. Mike Smith has to play well. That's what I mean by having the ceiling that the Oilers have. All those guys could do it. My biggest issue with the Avalanche, honestly, is there seems to always be an excuse for why we haven't actually seen the peak of the Avalanche, right? Like, we go back to, you know, I can't help but remember last year, they're up 2-0 on Vegas. They had that 7-1 game. Everybody's like, I don't know that Colorado's ever going to lose another game. Like, how is anybody going to ever win four games in a series? And then Vegas immediately swept them the rest of that series. And, you know, people go, okay, well, they didn't have Nazem Kadri, and like, so they haven't been at full strength. And then this season comes along and it's just injury after injury. Nobody, you know, they'd never had the full roster in the lineup at the same time. So that sucks for them, but like, it also means we never got to see it. And then they faced Nashville, and yeah, they were probably always going to beat Nashville, but it was UC Soros-less Nashville, right? And then they face St. Louis, and like, they're in trouble. It's 1-1, 1-0 in game three. And then, you know, however you want to frame it, Binnington gets knocked out of that series. Like, there's always a reason why we don't get to see Colorado measured up at their full potential. And we get to look and we go up and down the roster and we're like, this team's loaded, but it's all kind of conceptual. Like, you know, Lekkonen has a brand name now because Montreal made that run last year. Well, what if Montreal doesn't win game seven against Toronto, right? Does Lekkonen even end up on Colorado? Does anybody even look twice at Lekkonen? That's how it works when it comes to these series, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's such a razor's edge. So I just look at Colorado and I go, okay, this finally, is this the chance we get to see like full scale Colorado at their best against a team that doesn't have any excuses? Like, that's the thing that I want to see before I'm sort of full bore into Colorado, the way that a lot of people in the industry are.
For me, there was a demon for Colorado, and that was getting past the second round. They've done so. So I'm going to stick with the Avalanche all the way to the Stanley Cup final. I think you brought up a good point earlier. It's a really good contrast in series. You have the high flowing offense in this one in the Western Conference final. In the Eastern Conference final, guys, you got probably, you know, arguably not even in my world, the two top goaltenders on the planet right now, and Andrei Vasilevsky and Igor Shesterkin. How would you handicap this one, Matt?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I did something I never do last night. And so I wrote about Carolina being a good bet to win the series, -1.5 in the games market. So, you know, in six games or less. And the premise of that is New York, I still to this day have no idea how they beat the Penguins in that series based on the metrics that were created out of that. 119-60 in even strength, high danger scoring chances. 59 more high danger scoring chances. Like, how is that even possible? How do you win a game? How do you win a series like that? Well, in theory, it should be stellar goaltending. Well, Shesterkin, you know, felt like he spent half the series on the bench for that. Like, I still don't know how they did it. So you go into a series with Carolina and you go, okay, I know one thing is going to happen here. Carolina is going to drive the play at even strength. And there's nothing to say that the Rangers have some incredible special teams that are going to somehow make up for that. And it's not like Shesterkin was great in that first series. So I can't be banking on a superhero performance from Shesterkin. Well, what do we get? We get the superhero performance from Shesterkin. And once Carolina loses that game six, that, by the way, at even strength, they outplayed the Rangers like they did the entire series. Ended up after six games, 81-48 for Carolina in those even strength, high danger chances. So we got it right, right? We predicted the 5-on-5 play being a driver. Here was the problem. You're sitting there, you're watching the games, six games, and you're going, Shesterkin's awesome. And Ranta isn't. And he was wearing down. This is a guy who played, I believe, 46 games was the most he's ever played in a regular season. And now he was being asked to play every second night in the playoffs. The seven-game series against Boston didn't help them at all. And, you know, there's no way to know this, but the injury, which was really sad, sort of a very whimper type, you know, go out for the Hurricanes last night, was just a matter of wear and tear on that guy. And so he gives up those two early goals in game six. And you could see Carolina was like, oh man, like we're in trouble here. Like we're having a rough time. We scored four times in those 81 high danger scoring chances through six games. They have scored four goals in 48. We have gotten the same amount of goals despite almost doubling the output of our opponent here, that's going to beat you down. And so I knowing that that minus one and a half bet, that bet was dead. That bet's long gone, right? You can, that's not coming back. And you have this game seven, and you can either be really stubborn and just go, listen, Carolina gets more chances. Like they have to be they are the better team. They have to win this game. Or you look at it and you go, which would I rather have? If I know Carolina is going to have more of the chances, let's say 12 of them in this game, and I know that New York's only going to have like 7 or 8. Honestly, looking at the goaltenders, I was like, I think I'd rather the 7 or 8 on Ranta than the 12, 13, 14 on Shesterkin. And so I bet the Rangers last night plus 130. I was obviously you're getting a plus price on them as well. Maybe that was because of the whole, you know, narrative concept of the trend of, you know, Carolina, everybody winning at home when Carolina plays or not. It wasn't drastically changed from any other home game that Carolina had played. So the point of all of that is to say it's taken me 13 games to sort of go, okay, like the Rangers are just going to just do this, I guess. But the problem is they did 13 games of going up against goaltenders that like most people had never heard of, right? Sort of casual Stanley Cup playoff watchers are like, who is this now? Louis, what? And like, and you go, okay, that's awesome. But that ship has sailed, right? It's Vasi time here. You're not going to get that advantage. And that's the crazy part. Like, yeah, I want the better goaltender, especially if I'm getting a plus underdog price. We're getting the plus underdog price, but this is the one situation. I'm not sure we're getting the better goaltender here going up against Vasilevsky. So the problem with the Rangers is they basically destroyed my ability to power rate them because they're rating as a team with an average goaltender, like, you know, sort of hypothetical 18 skaters version of the Rangers, dropped drastically against Pittsburgh. It didn't increase all that much against Carolina, but you have to build in and just say, okay, fine, you're getting an absurd performance out of Shesterkin. But that's a really hard thing to predict, right? Variables in hockey, there are two of them, goaltending and special teams. You can try to predict it, but like, it's kind of impossible. You never would have thought Florida would go 23 power plays without actually scoring on one, right? And we all, there's, you know, history's littered with goaltenders who, you know, surprise runs, right? Jordan Binnington being a great example. You never know what you're going to get with that guy. Had his worst regular season of his career. And until he got hurt, it looked like we might have Jordan Binnington from, you know, 3 years ago. And so I just look at it and I go, okay, the pricing here, it's never going to be where my number is because I'm basing a lot of stuff off even strength play and the concept of like average goaltending or sort of equal goaltending. So I'm always going to be betting on Tampa Bay in this series. It's just a matter of how. And I actually sort of forgot as the matchup got created last night that the Rangers have home ice in this series. Because you think of like the reputations and how relatively easy it's been, certainly in the last couple of weeks for Tampa Bay. That like you just assume Tampa Bay sitting at home waiting for game one. You're like, oh, no, wait, it's actually the Rangers that have game one. Having game six to me is the most interesting thing because I think that's where you bet on the Lightning minus 1.5 on the series price. You can get a plus money price with them to do this in six games or less. That's how I would play this series because right now at minus 170, 175, there's some 180s out there. I'm not laying that price with the expectation that this series is going seven back at Madison Square Garden. I don't want to be sitting there in game seven going like, I've got the Lightning at minus 180 to win this game. Like, that's not the plan. The plan here is that the Lightning are the much better team. The goaltending matchup is equal. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay minus 1.5 plus 115 or better in this series.
I was really surprised that they were able to sweep the Florida Panthers without Braden Point. And they're matching up here. If Point doesn't start the series on Wednesday, game one at the Garden, you're looking at the best center in the series being Mika Zibanejad. He has been a stud on the power play. He was a big difference maker in the Carolina series. And then, you know, when you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, their depth could be matched by what the Rangers are throwing out there, right? Especially if Filip Hedl is performing at the level he has over the past two games. So in terms of like the depth comparison and just looking beyond the goaltenders, because there's a lot of intriguing matchups here, right? There's Victor Hedman and Adam Fox, two of the five best defensemen in the league. Take away the goaltenders, like which team is the better team in the skater groups, Matt?
It's the Lightning for me. Like, I understand, you know, sort of the concept, like, yeah, it hurts to have Braden Point out, but like the Lightning from just a systematic standpoint. And that's why, whether it's name value, systems, coaching, however you want to put it, that's why I do everything based on 5-on-5 play and, you know, the 18 skaters out front. Because it all comes out in the wash, right? It's all just gets thrown into a stew, and then the numbers produce, you know, this is what's happening out there. The other reasons that I bet on the Rangers is like, yeah, I am more concerned about Panarin and Zibanejad converting the few chances that they're going to get versus a Carolina team where I'm like, who's the guy, right? Like, we have a lot of respect for the Svechnikovs, the Ahos, et cetera, but like, I'm still waiting to see it as far as the playoffs are concerned and like being that guy who gets you a goal. The Lightning have that guy to get you the goal, right? They've got the Kucherov, Stamkos, and then honestly, like, fill in the blank supporting role player, right? We saw it in game 7 against the Leafs. Just, you know, it wasn't those guys that were the scary element. And yeah, I was surprised too, man. Like, Point is a significant play driver. It's not that the Lightning have been that great. The other bet that I'm going to be making basically for every game in this series is the under 5.5. Now, I realize that's incredibly simplistic because you're like, these two goalies are really, really awesome. But Tampa Bay, because they are not circumventing, let's say, the salary cap this postseason, they don't have the firepower and the depth that they had in years past, i.e. last year, where they were, what, you know, 10 million clear of this, of what would have been a playoff salary cap. If they're going to do this, if they're going to have this borderline unprecedented, at least sort of in modern times, run of 3 Stanley Cups, they're going to do it grinding you to bits, all right, and relying on Hedman and Vasilevsky to keep the puck out of the net. So you're going to get a lot of those series like we saw against the Islanders the last couple of years, where it's like 2-1, you know, like 1-0 game 7 type of a situation. I believe in the conference finals and Stanley Cup finals, the 4 series that they've had, the under has been 15-8 in those last 2 series for the Lightning. And that just speaks to, okay, like, we don't have a ton left in the tank here. We just got to get a couple of goals from some couple of key guys and then have our all-world, all-universe goaltender and general system defensively to hold that up. So I'm not looking on any overs for any players or anything like that. If I was putting up a daily fantasy roster, it would be the 2 goaltenders, you know, pick one of those 2 guys. And then everybody from Edmonton, Colorado, anybody you can find, right? Just steer clear of anybody here, because again, you might get a goal from Kucherov, you might get a goal from Palat, and that might be enough to honestly win them a 3rd Stanley Cup, but at least get them to the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Tampa's comfortable playing that style, not to mention the 9 days rest will be pivotal, especially considering Braden Point, and we just don't know much about that situation right now. So to wrap, I mean, I think you've been steering the conversation in a certain direction for sure, but you like Tampa and Colorado in your Stanley Cup final. Who do you like winning?
Yeah, I mean, that's super, super chalky. And, you know, again, I'm not necessarily betting on Colorado because of the, you know, the price that it was required to pay that. The way I'm actually betting Colorado is actually in the Conn Smythe market. And that's okay. The really sort of interesting thing here that we can sort of wrap up on if you guys want is it's actually a really pretty clean market right now. There's only 6 guys that can win it, in my opinion, right? Connor McDavid is the only guy who's going to win it if Edmonton wins the Stanley Cup. And frankly, there's a piece of that probability pie that he wins it without them winning the Stanley Cup. So if you look at him now, you know, there's some plus 650s available on him and the Oilers are plus 600. Honestly, I would make McDavid shorter of a number than even the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup because of that slice of probability that he actually does win it without them winning it in its entirety. But you know, I've been on that train for about 1.5 years, right? Didn't work necessarily last postseason, worked this postseason. So I've got a 30-1 Connor McDavid ticket in my pocket. I'm looking to protect that a little bit, but even if I didn't, Cale Makar is the guy that I'm looking to back for the Conn Smythe, because you look at it this way. Colorado's plus 105 right now. They actually went, you know, they got their price got shorter because Carolina got knocked out, right? So their overall win probability increased, but the Conn Smythe odds didn't move. So they went from plus 120 to 105, but McKinnon is still plus 350. Makar is still plus 450. McKinnon's plus 350 stemming off of that hat trick and the amazing goal. And then at some point, we're going to realize here in the next couple of weeks, they didn't even win that game. Like, as cool as that is, and that's on all of the commercials, they didn't even win that game, everybody. We're going to figure out here in the next couple of weeks that Makar is actually the more important player when it comes to driving play on a more consistent basis with Colorado. He's tied with McKinnon at 13 points, I believe, for the entire playoffs. And he's third in the league in being on the ice for the most goals. There's only two guys who have been on the ice for more goals than him, McDavid, Dreisaitl, right? Like, those are the two guys that have been on the ice for more goals. And obviously, if Colorado makes the Stanley Cup final, that means the Oilers are going to be eliminated, right? So you can take and wipe out all of those guys. So Makar at plus 450, I think, is probably going to end up being the favorite between he and McKinnon. Now, it could go either way. And listen, McKinnon could go off, as they say, over the next couple of weeks. But right now, those guys should be about equal. And if those guys are about equal, look at it this way. Avalanche are even money right now to win the Stanley Cup, which means those two guys should be about 25% to win the Conn Smythe. Unless you guys have a case for somebody other than Colorado or other than them on Colorado to win the Conn Smythe trophy. Like, that's a tough case to make, and I'd be happy to hear it. But it's going to be one of those two guys, which means 25% for each one of those guys out of that pie, which means a fair price is about plus 300 for each of them. Well, we're getting really close there on McKinnon at plus 350, but we're still getting plus 450 with Makar. That, for me, is the way to attack Colorado going forward. So when I say I think Colorado wins the Stanley Cup, that's in the context of Makar winning the Conn Smythe trophy at plus 450. Because I really, at this point, you know, even money for two more series in the NHL for Colorado, like, that's the tough bet to make. And Tampa Bay, if they win the Stanley Cup, man, tip of the cap to them. In this era, it'll be less than 2 years where they've hoisted it three times. That's unbelievable. What did we say about historical betting, betting on historical things? I don't really want to do that. This is Colorado Stanley Cup to win. And I think Cale Makar is the guy who's going to hold the other trophy in a few weeks' time.
I like the angle with the defenseman. It's happened just as many times in the past decade that a defenseman has won the Conn Smythe as a goaltender has. Duncan Keith won it in 2015 for the Blackhawks. Victor Hedman, who's still alive in the playoffs this year, won it in 2020 for the Lightning. So it's very possible. I like it for sure. It's a great angle. And then, you know, when you look at, I think, the Avalanche and, you know, some other really important players to that team, I still don't think there's a scenario, like you said, for a Darcy Kemper, for a Nazem Kadri, for a Gabriel Landeskog, for a Mikko Rantanen. So, yeah, very narrowed down in Colorado. And then for the Rangers, I just wanted to give a shout out to what Adam Fox is doing as well, yeah. Because I think, like, we look at that team and their ceiling as being like Shesterkin wins the award. But maybe you could look at a similar type thing, because Adam Fox is like third or fourth in the NHL in scoring right now as a defenseman among all the skaters out there, Nick, right? So, like, you can really maybe get a little value on him. He's just as important as anybody is to the Rangers in the grand scheme of things, I think.
Yeah, and certainly playing the prop market as well, guys. I've been hammering a little Adam Fox, a 5-game point streak, something I'll be looking at here in the Eastern Conference Final playing Tampa. And certainly, Matt, like, I think that's a big storyline in this series is Fox against Hedman, as Pete brought up earlier, because I think you have to dissect it a bit closer. Obviously, when you have the goaltending, you have the forwards, and then on the back end, you look at Tampa's back end, maybe there's a bit more depth. So that's why it's paramount. A guy like Fox really, really steps up the way he has and certainly did against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's a lot like, in a sort of reverse, right? Mike Smith, right? Like, the Oilers aren't going to win the Stanley Cup unless Mike Smith plays well.
Yeah.
But they're not going to give him the award for the Conn Smythe trophy in the same way, like, the Rangers need Fox and a handful of other guys to play a lot, frankly, a lot better than they have over the course of these two series. But, like, think about what they need to do to win the Stanley Cup. They need to win to beat the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, and then either the sort of superhero Colorado Avalanche or the superhero Connor McDavid. Like, Shesterkin is going to get all the credit for that, but Fox has to be very good. So betting Fox props and have him play well and accumulate those numbers is how I would sort of support Fox. But like when we're talking about human beings voting here, we're just going to get to a point where it's like, man, Shesterkin was awesome for those last three series and like have to vote him. Like that's just going to be how the narrative plays out, right? You know, we all will respect everything that Fox will have done if that ends up being the case. But from a voting standpoint, it's like, it's got to be Shesterkin. And that's why I say there's only six guys, the other two guys being Kucherov and Vasilevsky, that have a chance to win this award.
And it's funny because Shesterkin was the best goalie in the entire league by far and away in the regular season. But we've been talking more about, you know, the Crosby injury and the Seth Jarvis injury in game seven and guys like Casey DeSmith and Louis Domingue and Antti Raanta, Peter Kochetkov, right? Like now we're going to see a chance for Shesterkin to prove himself against the best in the game. And if he does that, he could become, from this point to the end of the series, like the runaway Stanley Conn Smythe favorite, right? So that's how much things can change. It's a platform for Shesterkin to earn even more respect than he has in this amazing season. So yeah, Matt, let us know what you got going on at The Score right now, where people can follow your work and some of the other shows that you're appearing on right now.
Yeah, everybody's got The Score app, let's be honest, right? But the key thing is you want to get in there, you want to start messing around with your profile, and you want to be getting the bet mode betting news alerts, right? So everything we write over there, boom, you know it as soon as you can get it. Why is that important? Because odds, lines change, right? And so we're trying to get everything out as fast as we possibly can. You know, we don't do the 2,500 word think pieces on a bet. Everything is pretty tight, 800-ish words. A lot of times, a little bit less than that. We got to be concise, way more concise than I have been on this show, for example. So get the alert, go in there and mess around and sort of, you know, fine tune it, right? It's very customizable. Of course, you can find me at MRuss Authentic. Everything that I write gets retweeted through there, so that's another way to do it. But yeah, get in there on The Score app and mess around a little bit, and then listen to the DRF Sports podcast that I appear on every couple twice a week or so, and you know, we get to have large scale conversations like this.
All right, Matt, thanks so much for hopping on. Take care.
Thanks very much, guys.
Great stuff from Matt Russell. If you don't remember when he came on the show last year, some of our listeners probably do, he actually was all over Montreal against Vegas, so definitely take his conference final predictions seriously, especially with all the odds out there. Nick, when you look at the numbers on each series, plus 195 for Edmonton against Colorado, and then plus 160 for the Rangers at home against the Lightning as the underdogs, which number do you like more looking ahead to the conference final?
Yeah, I think I've been pretty emphatic throughout this podcast who I'm liking. That's Tampa. That's Colorado. I think they're on a collision course to meet in the Stanley Cup final. So that's probably where I'm going. In terms of the over-unders, I'm probably staying away from the seven number with that Edmonton series. 5.5, I'm looking at the number. I don't know about you, and I said this off the top, like I'm really, really excited for both series. I think there's a really, really good contrast. And I think this is a big time moment, maybe a passing of the baton type moment for like an Igor Shesterkin here.
It certainly could be. And don't discount the impact of Barclay Goodrow, too. We talked about him last show, the chances of him coming back. He's facing his former team that he won back-to-back cups with. And we've been talking about the Rangers kid line, right? But when you factor in Goodrow and his clutch goals and points, he had an assist in game seven against Carolina. When you factor him in a series against a grizzled team like Tampa Bay, it closes the gap at least a little bit. And it could help them, you know, offset any advantage because the goaltending could be a wash, could be tight checking, could be low scoring. You get some big goals from him, you know, multiple goals in the series. That could make all the difference in the world, right, Nick?
I want some predictions, Pete. Let's have it.
Yeah, so I think the team more likely to pull off the upset is the New York Rangers. So they have home ice advantage. I like their scoring pop. I like their advantage with Zibanejad if Point doesn't play in the series or even misses half of the series. I think that the Rangers are playing with house money at this point. And the further they go, especially if they can crack Tampa Bay and win consecutive games at some point in this series, that could be all it takes because the Rangers have put together a nice little run here. And they're not kind of like getting too high on themselves, right? They're not on their high horse because so many people out there are saying, oh, they only made it this far because of the Crosby injury or because of, the Freddie Anderson injury or whatever it may be. So I feel like they're still fighting for respect at plus 160. I think they're a better play than Edmonton. I do think that it's a big advantage for Colorado. And like you, Nick, I've had Colorado all year long. I'll also, you know, unfortunately for you, I saw your perfect bracket came to an end. How about that? You almost made it through two rounds with an absolutely perfect bracket. And then go figure, right? The team you had in the finals, the Hurricanes, let you down. But I mean, I think we expected more from Carolina. That was a disappointing exit.
It really hurt. And sorry, I didn't really answer your question. I misinterpreted it. I'm with the Rangers with you. I think they have a better shot at winning that series than the Edmonton Oilers do. But I got to leave with asking you this question. Who's hotter, David Satriano playing the NHL Stanley Couple or Igor Shesterkin in the New York Rangers? That's my question to you, Pete Jensen.
I think the Rangers are a little hotter considering they were down 3-1 in the first series and 2-0 and 3-2 in the second series. But yeah, Davey's hitting home runs left and right. I believe he's still undefeated on Stanley Couple, but definitely, you know, check out Stanley Couple. You've heard of Wordle. The NHL has their own version. It's called the NHL Stanley Couple. You know, go check it out, stanleycouple.nhl.com. It's presented by Upper Deck. UpperDeckEPAC.com lets you buy, open, and collect your favorite hockey cards from anywhere at any time. Get a free pack just for logging on. Visit UpperDeckEPAC.com today.
Oh, that was a brilliant read, my friend. And I can't wait for game one of the Western Conference Final. Let's go, Petey. Take us home.
I know, no break, right? The NBA has a couple of days of break before the finals in Boston.
It's like 4 weeks long, the NBA final.
You know, let the NHL and its, you know, star power right now, right? We always talk about the stars don't make it far. All the stars exit in the first round. Not this year, man. This could be different. It's going to be a really fun conference final. And keep it tuned to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll be back with you later in the week and along every step of the way of this matchup of McKinnon and McDavid. And don't forget about Draisaitl, by the way, 17 points in the second round. Big reason why they were able to beat the Calgary Flames. So again, for Matt Russell, follow him at The Score. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, talk to you later in the week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.